recognize people's faces like masks.
Critics rave. Smile is haunting and unforgettable. It's truly terrifying and deliciously creepy.
This is not real.
It's real.
Smile. Rated R. Only in theaters tomorrow.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
John Guandolo. I grew up in Maryland. I went to the Naval Academy. I took a commission as a Marine officer, served in the infantry and reconnaissance communities inside the Marine Corps. I'm a combat veteran. In 1996, I went to the FBI and spent about 5 years in the criminal division. And after 9/11, moved over into the counterterrorism division. I got to be a part of different specialized cases or high profile national cases. We went after the Atlanta Olympic bomber and the abortion clinic bomber, the 98 embassy bombings. Going over to Africa and being there in Nairobi. And because of those skills, I was on the raid team, which was a fairly small raid team to where the bomb was built for the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi. After 9/11, being at the Pentagon doing recovery work. And that's the kind of stuff that, as I look back, was in the moment brutal, you know, because like literally being at the embassy and part of my duties was to recover human remains. That's brutal work. Same or similar work at the Pentagon. Through that investigative work, finding that there's this massive network, not in Afghanistan, Iraq, right here in the United States, and that the leaders of these key organizations that are working with Al-Qaeda and Hamas that wear suits, they're meeting with the president, with FBI director, CIA director, with DHS. They're training people. They're training military people. My response was, this is outrageous. We need to crush this. And let me say this, if the FBI and state security agencies around the United States were doing their job, I would be teaching high school students, which is what I'd love to be doing, but I'm not. I'm putting my talents towards understanding the threat, doing the job that someone else should be doing if they were actually doing their job. So what is the current state of the FBI? Not good. I still have colleagues inside, people that I train. They're solid people, and there are a lot of frustrated men and women in the FBI. The overriding attitude and message I'm hearing from them is I'm just biding my time to retirement. But some of them are also saying, but I'm not sure that that's the morally right thing for me to do. Like, shouldn't I be fighting to fix this place? But a lot of them feel like there's no fixing the FBI. I go back to this. In 2003, when he was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, which is New York City, arguably the most important U.S. attorney's office in the United States, James Comey gave an interview to New York Magazine where he said, I was a communist, not sure where I am politically. I guess I'll have to see. Well, he was literally walking out the door to become the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. If somewhere in the Department of Justice, the FBI, the executive branch of the government, there was some functioning system, the brakes on his new job would have been put on immediately. He would have been investigated. He would have been fired. And they would have looked at him and said, oh, you were a communist, not sure if you are or not now, and we're about to make you the Deputy Attorney General. But that's not what happened. What happened was he became the Deputy Attorney General, he remained the Deputy Attorney General, and eventually became the FBI Director. So if you want any more evidence of how penetrated by communists and adversaries of the United States we are, that's it. And that's 20 years ago. Now, the fact that there's been zero purging inside the government, except patriots being purged in the last 20 years, that should give you an idea of the state of the FBI. How do you destroy the FBI? You make a commie the director. This is what they want. You had James Comey, the same guy who said I was a communist, as the director. Andrew McCabe, deputy director of the FBI. Peter Strzok, the assistant director for counterintelligence, falsely, knowingly put forth an application to the FISA court to electronically surveil candidate and then President Trump, his family, and his staff. That's a violation of so many laws and their oath of office, arguably treason and sedition. What did the DOJ do? What did Congress do? Nothing. Republicans and Democrats alike, nothing. I do want to tell you about the Civil War within the FBI, and it's really this, is there are agents and analysts and employees that are patriots, and they joined the FBI or they got employed by the FBI for the same reason that a lot of people join organizations like that. They believe in the mission. They believe in their oaths of office. But here's something I think is important to keep in mind. If 98% of everybody in the FBI were a mad patriot, but only three people actually internally are fighting the battle against the adversaries of liberty in the Bureau, then it doesn't matter that there are 99% patriots. if only 1% or 2% or 3 people are opening their mouths, then therein lies the problem. You know, what's the difference between card-carrying communists and patriots who aren't doing anything or don't want to risk their job or their reputation for the sake of the republic? Well, there's no difference. Because standing on the sidelines right now is the same as standing in the enemy camp. Because we are losing this war and losing it badly. So it's a small number of people within the Bureau that are fighting. I would say a strong percentage of the leadership are focused on their careers, getting to retirement, and that puts them in the enemy camp. Whether they realize that or not, they may be good people, they may be nice people, but by not helping the Patriot cause, you're literally standing in the enemy camp. How broken is the Department of Justice? I would argue completely broken. I believe from top to bottom, and I don't think this is in the last couple of years. I think the fact, and I'll go back to the example we used earlier of the FBI director, the deputy director, and the counterintelligence, a leader in the counterintelligence division, Peter Strzok, falsely filing an application of the FISA court. And where is the DOJ investigation of those three individuals? Where's the prosecution for treason, for sedition, for lying under oath, for perjuring yourself? I mean, listen, when I worked as a temporary supervisor at FBI headquarters, a lot of what I did was working FISAs. I know the process inside and out, and I can tell you to get a FISA application approved is a monumental task. And it has to go through so many wickets that literally every line, every sentence in that application, and most of these applications are 50 to 150 pages, has to be fact sourced. And as the supervisor at headquarters working with the case agent in different parts of the country, I'm the one swearing it out. So I'm working with the case agent like, how do you know this? What's the source? Okay, that's not good enough. I'm literally going to raise my hand and swear to the truth of this. And then I go sit with the attorney. And then I go sit with a high-level DOJ official. And then, as I had to do, you literally go, I did this on several occasions. You go to the FBI director's home, you brief him on it, and then he asks you questions. Like, how do you know this? What's this? And if your stuff's not tight, he's like, go back, get it right, come back. So for an application to get before a judge and then do the same thing before the judge, my point of this is, where was DOJ there? Where is DOJ in the Hillary Clinton investigation where we have solid evidence of classified information being passed to hostile foreign governments on unclassified systems? These are all violations of federal law. The evidence is there and on the table. It's not the FBI director who determines whether a case gets prosecuted or not. It's the DOJ. It's the attorneys. So the fact that James Comey said, we're not going to prosecute. You're the FBI director. You don't prosecute anything. That's the DOJ's job. And this is not a political issue. These are legal matters. DOJ is catastrophically broken. And I believe the same thing with the FBI. Yes, the president, the attorney general of the United States, and FBI leadership is saying that if you are a patriot, part of the MAGA movement, you are a white supremacist and a lethal threat, which means you are on their target list. I think it's that simple, that clear. Yes, they've completely taken the definition of a threat to America and turned it exactly upside down. Roger Stone told me that CNN called him late evening, 7 in the evening local time, asking him questions. So he literally said, oh, I guess the FBI is going to be at my door tomorrow morning. And he had coffee made and was ready for it. Because he's smart enough to recognize what this was. When you understand the things we've been talking about, because this is, to me, the main line of this discussion. You have the President of the United States who recently said, this MAGA movement is the most dangerous political movement in American history. A year ago, Mr. Biden said,
terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda. White supremacists.
Now, these are legal terms that have real meaning. When the President of the United States says white supremacists are the greatest lethal threat to America, and then he says that MAGA patriots are white supremacists and they're the most hostile political movement, you now have, and by the way, and the Attorney General of the United States echoes these sentiments, then you should expect the entire force of the federal government to come to bear against people that are put in that category. Well, what is the MAGA movement? And I said earlier, I'm going to say it again. Mr. Trump did not birth the MAGA movement. The MAGA movement was around before Mr. Trump, and it birthed him, and it exists with or without him. Now, some will say, well, he's a major player in it. Okay, that's not the point. The point is, what this movement is are citizens who consider themselves patriots because they believe in the founding principles. They believe that the Declaration is the ideal for our law and government. They believe that the Constitution is the highest law in the land and that people that swear an oath to that Constitution should bear fidelity to that Constitution. And that a free market economy and liberty under law, these are principles under which we're supposed to operate. Well, the President and the Attorney General have said, anyone who believes that, you are now the greatest threat to the United States. So I would expect things like Roger Stone's residence to be attacked. I would think that people who were merely in Washington, D.C. on January 6th to be attacked. I think if you, as an organization, as TPUSA, don't think that the leadership and executive leaders, you yourself, if you don't think that they're either monitoring you or considering monitoring you, I don't think you get what I've been talking about. People like you, of course, they would look at you. Anybody who is a leader in this movement, speaking truth, training people, taking action at the local, state, federal level, of course they're looking at you, because the leadership of the federal government has said you are the most lethal threat to the United States. So the question about was the FBI involved in January 6th is a huge question. And how were they involved? I was there on January 6th in an area that was permitted by a group that I was just invited to join by a pastor in Dallas who asked me to travel there. And I originally wasn't going to go, but I thought, you know, that this would be great to just be with a bunch of Christians praying for our nation. As I mentioned earlier, I spent most of the day there with a friend of mine in the FBI, and we watched what was going on. Oh, there are three Antifa guys walking in right there. But I also watched patriots walk up the steps with their, you know, the Gadsden flag that the FBI says is a sign of militant violent extremism because they're insane. Well, they're not insane. They're not operating from their constitutional basis. And I watched them talk to Capitol Police. And I watched Capitol Police like halfway up steps, nod their heads, stand aside, and these guys walked up and walked in. And I watched all this. I will tell you, as a combat vet, standing next to an FBI agent, we're standing there talking, and we look to our left, and a red star cluster goes off. And I looked at that, and I looked at him, and he goes, holy crap, what is about to happen? Like that, nobody's talked about that. And we just kept watching these folks, these clearly Antifa, walk through, walk into the Capitol, and walk right by us. And I didn't see anyone paying them attention. So here are a few things. I don't know Ray Epps. I can't tell you whether he is or is not an FBI source. But what I did witness is people that were clearly hostile, Antifa or BLM. We did see specific individuals. There's footage and photographs of specific BLM leaders, Antifa leaders inside the Capitol. And what I then witnessed was I went back to my hotel room when it was over, turned on the TV, and within minutes, I see a group marching down the street with a huge professional banner talking about the insurrection on January 6th. And immediately, I'm like, well, that's convenient. When did that banner get made? Chris Burgard, Hollywood guy, I've known for years. He did the film Border. He was in Honduras when they did the color revolution. He's literally standing there on January 6th looking around going, this looks an awful lot like that. But my point is, it's been called an insurrection with no weapons, with no insurrection. I mean, the whole thing is it's just political show. But it's not just political show because people in jail, people's lives have been ruined. People have lost their jobs. People have been hurt, beaten by the cops for being there, and none of them are held to account. But the patriots are being attacked. That is, to me, is the truth of January 6th. And again, another massive data point on the table that America ho-hums. Up until just a few weeks ago, for over 18 months, I was on a TSA watch list because I was in January 6th, I was in Washington, D.C., and yet I was on a watch list. And when I say that, John, how do you know? Well, besides the fact that I was in the FBI and I know what being on a watch list looks like, it looks like 100% of the time, every flight I go on takes about between an hour and a half to get through security. For 3 months, every gate I went to, then there was another level of security where TSA set up a table. And oddly enough, they'd usually screen about 2% of the people getting on board, and I was always one. Weird. But I also think there are a lot of Americans sitting back still looking at all this, wondering, something is drastically wrong. What do I do? So, I want to say to those what I think are millions of Americans who see that things are grossly wrong, make sure your county is fortified. Identify the bad guys, flush them out using legal means, and restore the republic. That's where your focus should be. Don't try to fix the FBI. Don't try to fix Congress. That is a losing cause right now. So let me give an example from the local level of how a local community can actually fight back. And this is really important. And this is the whole reason, as I said earlier, understanding the threat exists is to train communities to do this. But it's not just giving skills. It's a mindset. It's that over time, as you all have talked about, Americans have transferred, quite frankly, their authority and their responsibility up to what I would call a nanny state. We act like whatever the federal government says goes. That's not at all the way it's supposed to be. So when you have a local community, I'll give you an example. Just recently in Texas, FBI raids a guy's house saying he was somehow involved in January 6th and all this nonsense. The local sheriff does nothing. And in response to citizens asking the sheriff, why didn't you intervene? He's like, well, it's out of my hands. It's a federal matter. The answer is, it's your freaking county. It's your jurisdiction. It's your responsibility. The fact that you're unprofessional and the fact that you're too scared or cowardly to do your duty, that's the problem. Citizens have to hold their local officials culpable. Let's look at what that looks like in reality. Well, the FBI shows up at a citizen's home, whether they're given a heads up or not. If they're given a heads up, the sheriff immediately calls local FBI and says, no, you're not doing that. before you do anything in my county, I want to see it, right? I want to see it. And if you show up without notifying me, I'm going to put 20 deputies in front of this guy's house and you're not going in. And we will physically block you because it's wrong. And we'll call citizens that we work with in the community and we'll have 100 or 200 of them out there because what you're doing is wrong and I'm not going to tolerate it. And by the way, I'm the law in this county, not you. This is not an Article 6 issue. This is not a Supremacy Clause issue. This is what you're doing is unjust. And so we're not going to allow it in our county. You can do that with the banks that are doing financing of these groups. Hey, you want to finance Communist China through BLM? Then your bank will shut down in our county. We're shutting this branch down. So if you want to operate, then you need to shut this off. You got 2 hours. And there are a lot of ways to do it. A lot of ways to make people unwelcome. And if that makes people listening or viewing what we're doing right here uncomfortable, then all I would ask is, that's fine that you're uncomfortable. Get out of the way because there's a war on and we don't need you in the middle if you're not sure what's actually going on because we're on the precipice of losing everything. Here's another example. In December, I briefed a governor who asked me to come in because they're getting refugees, Afghan refugees, into their community. And first thing I showed him is like, here are the Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, ISIS, and Hamas operatives wearing suits operating inside the federal government. And I said, now you really think they're vetting your Afghan refugees, right? But the point was, he asked, well, what can I do when they're literally flying them in and landing at one of our airports? I'm like, oh, I don't know. You have a National Guard here? You have State Guard? Yes. Well, what if 100 of them were at the airport? And when the plane lands and it's taxiing, your National Guard vehicles with National Guard troops are there. They say, yeah, no, nobody gets off this plane. You take that crap, you take right back off, you go land in someone else's state. And if you land here again, we're going to have legal issues with you. I'm going to take whoever's in charge of this thing into custody. How's that? Does he have the authority to do it? You're damn right he does. Because they don't meet, first of all, the legal definition of a refugee, number one. Number two, they're being brought in. The FBI is telling them they're vetted. How are you vetting them? How are you vetting people that don't know their own birthdays? I can tell you from being over there, most people who grew up in Afghanistan, they don't know their own birthday. You want to know why most of their birthdates are January 1st of some year? Because nobody knows, because nobody cares. And you're going to vet them how? What system in Afghanistan do they have to vet their people? None. We can't even keep Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, ISIS, and Hamas guys out of the U.S. government. And you're going to tell me you're going to vet somebody living in a village in Afghanistan, doesn't know their, I mean, give me a break. So there are legal ways, but what it requires is knowledge and courage. And I haven't seen one governor yet do anything like this, not one. But these are things that need to be done at the local and state level that can be done. And all it requires are citizens to put the branding iron to the backside of these governors and county officials, proverbially speaking, of course. So I believe the reason the FBI has taken so long to respond to what they consider the threat from Mr. Trump is more about the greater movement, the hostile movement inside the United States, than it is about just the timing of an investigation. It is true that these kind of investigations take time. But I would say we know all kinds of information about the communist movement in the United States. We know that we've got at least 70 members of Congress that we can easily identify as part of the communist movement. 70. You've got 23 former senators and congressmen, and that's at the low end, that are literally working with, being paid by companies directly working for Chinese military, Chinese intelligence. You have Mr. Biden and his son himself engaged in at least $30 to $40 million worth of business dealings with the leader of the state security apparatus in China. I mean, this is treason on both sides of the political aisle. This is the hostile movement I'm talking about. So when they begin doing these things, in all deference to some of my colleagues who have called it a banana republic and things like that, this is not. This is tyranny. These are Stalinist tactics that are used in tyrannies. And that's where we are. And so they just feel we can get away with this now and let's see what happens. Oh, nothing. Nothing from the American people. Nothing from the, quote, opposing political party. But it's a one-party system right now. We've seen that the fact that they just raided the home of a former president of the United States, it's not just a historic time. I don't think people are getting what keeps happening. And these things keep happening. They've been happening for 15 years, but now it's right in your face. The tyranny is real. Your data, not protected. It's not at all.
Okay. All righty. We are back. We're going to pick it up, folks. There's tomorrow night, Lord's willing, with the second part of this tomorrow night. It's obvious what we've been trying to tell people for the longest time, that when he was talking about when did this stuff start, Obama Nation, it was Obama, Joe, Obama, Wendy. We remember, Joe, from day one of the Obama regime, we were telling him, do you see what he's doing now?
Doing now, yep. I remember saying that so many times. Look what he's doing now.
He was purging patriots.
Building the deep state.
He had over 260 flag officers. He had 11 four-star generals. He purged all of these. These were patriotic people. He purged them, and he replaced them with people like Austin and Milley. Those who sold us out. They would sell us out, part of the Communist Party. And so
he went through almost every department of government and taking out professional bureaucrats and replaced them with political hacks who were on the far left.
Just and so
systematically, one after another after another.
He's weaponized the FBI. He's weaponized the CIA. He's weaponized the DOJ, all against us, patriots, the Americans. Now, we do have an election. They're going to do everything they can to stop the election, Joe. They're going to do whatever they can. They cannot survive an honest and fair election. They know there'll be history. They'll be cast out. And so they got to do whatever they can to stop an honest and fair election. And so you folks out there, all of you, you got to keep your eyes open and you got to stand up. You got to be bold. You got to be bold, okay? You know, like in the song that we play here, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. If you fail, remember, freedom is not free. It was paid for. It was bought and paid for with the blood of those patriots that went before us. And if you're not willing to stand up and do the same for your children and grandchildren, well, then I don't care much for you. I don't think much of you if you're not. So, anyhow, we got to be ready.
To add to that, people have got to understand that we are truly in the middle of a revolution. It's a communist takeover of this country, and it can be stopped without violence. It can be stopped without people having to resort to violence. But people have to understand we have to get everybody involved. The truth has to be told. You have to get, you know, we've mentioned how few Christians registered to vote, and those that did, quite a few of them did not vote. There are a lot of people on the sidelines that we need to be talking to. We need to explain what's going on, that this is about whether or not they're going to live in a free country or a communist state. Look at Cuba. Do you want to be like those people? You know, we brought in on this radio program, we've done stories of people from North Korea, from China, from Cuba, from communist states all around South America, and they all were warning, you know, I see the signs, this is what they did to my country, this is what they did. They started off getting control here, controlling the schools, and we're seeing this. The truth is out there, just people have to, we have to be loud and clear about what's going on, and it can be stopped with the truth.
Right. And so, again, we, like you said, Joe, we're in a revolution. We're in a war. And
it's a war.
And like Ronald Reagan said,
children and grandchildren is what is at stake.
Like Ronald Reagan said, will history say that those that had the very most to lose did the least to keep it? And folks out there, we have to stand and we have to fight. You have to stand and fight. And so, and know who the enemy is. Joe, you know, when time and time again, I've been criticized for telling people to remember, mark those people that have got a Joe Biden sign in their yard. Mark those, because listen, I'm not telling you to hate them or to mistreat them, but I'm telling you, watch those people. They're your enemy.
Yeah, huh? They're not the loyal opposition. They're not somebody you can debate and argue and compromise with, because this liberal left does not compromise. Whenever there's a compromise, what happens? Evil always brings righteousness down. Righteousness never seems to bring evil up. And this is the way the left works. They always get us to give in. They don't give in. And this has been going on all my life. I've watched that, and I imagine you'll validate that, right?
Well, all my life I've fought against it. I never gave in. I never gave in one inch.
But what I said, yeah, though, when there's a, yeah, negotiation, it's always, you know, evil always triumphs.
That's why they hated Donald Trump so much. He stood, he didn't give in.
Right.
He would just keep... in fact, he's actually making an offer right now to negotiate the war between Russia and Ukraine. You know, and he could probably negotiate peace if he... But they don't want peace.
Oh, they won't let him. Number one, they wouldn't dare let him because if he succeeded, he would be a shoo-in. And there's no way they want to give him one more victory than, you know, he's got enough of them.
If we have an honest and fair election, he will be a shoo-in, believe me. And you have to be a complete idiot to believe what NBC, ABC, CBS. Now, I don't see it so far this week, but all last week they were talking about, and even Fox News, how, with as bad as things are, how Joe Obama's ratings are improving, how his ratings, popularity are improving. That you have to be a total idiot. I haven't talked to anybody, even the Democrats, you know, out there are complaining.
Yeah. Well, the I've got an article from about the ARP.
Well, you better let Wendy give herself another commercial first. Wendy, tell the folks about your sale.
Oh, yeah. It's our fall wellness sale, and you'll save 25% on orders of $50 or more. All you have to do is call or visit the website. Details are on the homepage at thepowerherbs.com. Or give us a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. But you want to hurry because the sale ends October 1st.
There you go. Very good. And folks, Wendy, tell the people, do they need to be stocked up on natural herbs? I am stocked up on natural herbs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice to have to stand in the gap, especially if you can't get to medical care. You definitely want to have a fallback option. Absolutely.
Right. Well, how much can we trust nowadays? It's getting harder and harder to trust what you call medical care. It's hard. It's hard.
Oh, I know. I know. People fall into two categories, I've found, Pastor. It's all in what they believe. If they are enamored and they believe in medical science, there's no way in the world they're going to even look at a supplement or an herb. But then you have the people that are a little bit more savvy and proactive about health, and they've learned that, you know, foods are your medicine. So those are the two camps. And you can't, you know, bring a horse to water and make them drink kind of thing.
Here's the way I look at it, okay? God gave us the natural herbs. God gave us. Now, we see Big Pharma gave us pharmakia, okay? Now, which one knows more about everything? It's God, right? Which one never makes a mistake? Which one is responsible for killing literally millions of people around the world with their drugs? It's Big Pharma, is it not?
Right.
And we were reported last night. Now, this is got Halloween coming up, which is a Democratic holiday, Democratic Party holiday. And now they've got fentanyl disguised as candy, like gumballs and like Skittles.
No, Nerds and Skittles. They were actually in a package like Nerds and Skittles that the kids eat all the time. This is an act of war. This is a war against the children. This is something parents should be screaming mad when you put fentanyl in colored balls of candy that look exactly like Nerds and then put them in a package I think it's a Nerds package. They just dumped out the candy, dumped in the fentanyl pills. This is war.
And I would not.
It's a war. People would be mad.
Right. And I highly, highly, highly suggest you folks don't let your children or grandchildren go out and do what they call trick-or-treating. Don't let them do it, okay? Don't, because... again, it's getting more and more evil out there, just more and more wicked. You got to be smarter than that. No place in the Beatitudes does it say, blessed are the stupid. You're getting that from NBC, ABC, and CBS, okay? And so just don't do it. Right, Joe?
They'll do it, and be careful about where they get candy. If they get something that looks like that, I would recommend, as much as they may want it, if you love your children, you're going to say, no, here's something else. I know where it came from. I know where it was purchased. I'd be very, very careful. And no Halloween trick-or-treating out there. It's going to be too dangerous.
All righty.
Look at Pastor. We went from, well, the 1970s where, you know, they were having to X-ray candy. The hospitals would have a free X-ray of your trick-or-treat candy looking for razor blades and
razor
stuff like
blades,
that.
Yep.
And now we've gone from razor blades to toxic chemicals that can kill you.
Yeah.
Well,
and we've been telling people since the 80s about that group called the Depopulation Program. And so hang tight. We'll be back right after this with more Don't Go Away.
Little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them alone. Will you make me a promise? She said, as he walked in. He said, tell me what I can do. This to him.
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Heaven, they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them all he's done for them. Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them.
She said, I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about Mom and Dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me. Jesus, tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. That's a promise that I'll keep.
The pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them. Yeah. tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
Mom and dad about Jesus. Boy, can that guy sing. Well, there you go. What do you think, Wendy?
Oh, I think. Now, who's the little girl?
You know, that's Pastor Joe. That's how he sounds when he sings. Go ahead, show him, Joe.
You know, Wendy, are you close enough to pinch him or something?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, well.
I couldn't.
We put up with him, folks. He's always like this when he's sober.
Right.
Couldn't help myself. All right, there you go. You know what? I'm having
for Wendy.
Go ahead.
There was a big article out, and it's not getting attention. CDC database discovered there were 648 nursing babies harmed by the COVID vax. Three have died, and there was a big research done by an Israeli journalist and team there in Israel's Real Time magazine. And the evidence is quite clear. Quite a few of these mothers, within a couple of days of the vax, their children got ill, and a couple of them just several days afterward, the babies died. One of them, they rushed to a hospital. They were able to get the heart beating again, but even after they got the heart beating again, the damage was so extensive, the heart and brain, there was no brain function, the baby didn't recover. And several, they said, they died from TTP. I'm going to try and pronounce it. You probably know what it is. Thrombiotic thrombocytopenic purpura. It's basically a blood disorder. Blood clots in the small vessels throughout the body that block or curb the flow of blood to the brain and heart. And
sounds like COVID protein to me.
Yeah, sounds like COVID. And then they were saying Naomi Wolf came out, and there was an American Medical Association published letter. Oh, it's in a pay site. There's a paywall. You have to pay to read it, warning that the mRNA in the breast milk of mothers who have been vaccinated, and they advertise that they better wait quite a while before nursing. But it's in a pay site where you have to pay to read it. Isn't that wonderful? They really care about the children.
Well, you know what, Wendy and Joe? We did that article last week that came out where we found out, guess what? Israel was not telling the truth. They admitted that these vaccines that they were giving people were not the ones that they were telling. They weren't the Pfizer vaccines. They were something totally different that they were using, okay? And so here... They you know, because if they had given all those soldiers that, they would have had that myocarditis, but they admitted that they lied, that they were not giving them what they were promoting for other people to take.
So they didn't give their soldiers, that they promoted it for others.
Right. And so they went along, they went along with the program, and there you go. Nothing like being sold out.
Then there's this one. Top London cardiologist. Stop the COVID-19 shots now. This was one of the doctors who was one of the first to take the poison poke. He promoted it on British television. And now this Dr. Asim Malhotra put a paper out. At a news conference, strong scientific, ethical, and moral case to be made that the COVID vaccines rollout must be stopped immediately until the raw data has been released for full independent scrutiny. They've been hiding the truth, is what he's saying. And he didn't believe until his father, the vaccinated father, died, and he started looking into it. This guy's is a fellowship of the Royal College of Physicians. He's on the Public Health Commissioner. He's honorary at Stanford University School of Medicine, one of their chairs. And he said, now he's guilty of willful blindness. I was willfully blind, certainly in relation to the vaccine, the harms, until I wasn't. And now he's screaming, stop, stop, stop. You know, this is something really, really wrong going on. But I guess a few people are waking up, but it said it was the sudden death of his very fit and healthy father who was vaccinated, and they found out, you know, his heart, you know, a man with no heart problems all of a sudden died because of the vax and heart problems. So there you have some more proof. It just keeps on coming, doesn't it, Wendy?
Yeah, it's sad. It saddens me to hear these stories.
Well, do you know who Dr. Tal Zaks is? He's the former chief medical officer for vaccine maker Moderna. Guess what? He has come out and he has confirmed what we've been telling you about what this does. It changes your DNA within 6 hours of taking the shot. There you go.
It took so long, yeah.
Well,
is he getting national attention, or is it just the same people trying to tell the truth that's letting him speak?
Well, you're not going to get it on NBC, ABC, CBS, or Fox News. All you have to do is take a look at who is buying, who's doing all their advertising, okay? You know, how many times will you watch during the day, this commercial brought to you by Pfizer, or this message brought to you by Pfizer, or this brought to you by Moderna? It's all day long, and so they're not going to tell you. Their job is to set and let you die. That, you know, a whole part of this whole depopulation, this global depopulation movement. And so, I mean, it's up to us to get the word out there.
Well, and we are sure trying the best that we are able, aren't we?
Yep, we certainly are. All right, we've got just a few minutes. Let's take some calls, because I know everybody wants to talk to Wendy. Okay, we have our co-host here with us tonight, none other than Clifford.
Yeah, hi, guys. What you were just talking about, I was listening to, listening a little bit to this guy's podcast, David Knight Show podcast. He hates the Republicans as well as the Democrats, but he quoted Naomi Wolf. She has a team going over the original Pfizer things that were held up, and they said they were going to hide for 75 years. And Naomi Wolf says that their submissions to the FDA showed that the breast milk was coming out blue-green with their submissions to the FDA. You know, the woman were emitting blue-green milk.
That can't be good.
And the other thing that she was disturbed about is the spike protein is transferred through sex. So you can contaminate the next person with the spike. But two quick things, you know. One would be blind trust, you know, in the Bible. You know, like you were just talking about trust and the idea of blind trust, you know, in these formulas. You know, is there something in the Bible on that you could cite? And then for Wendy, what would be an example of one of these herbs or two that would do multiple things, you know, that are really prominent, not just one thing?
I heard that an herb that does more than one thing has multiple benefits. Is that the question?
Right, right. Like, could you give an example or two like that?
Probably a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, plants that have a lot of alkaloid action, usually going to have many benefits. Lobelia has 16 alkaloids, and it will work like an antispasmodic if you need it. It'll work like a decongestant if you need it, or it'll work like a diuretic if you need it. Gentian root is used for digestive issues. It will prevent you from overeating if you take it a half hour before you have a meal. But it also has a natural inhibitor to Ebola, the hemorrhagic fevers. So, yeah, there's a lot of herbs that have many purposes.
So you're getting several things, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say so, absolutely.
Well, your mother told you to eat your fruits and vegetables, right?
Well, look at for example, garlic. Yeah. Garlic, okay. Garlic is a natural antibiotic, right? And
yeah, it's a natural blood thinner.
Yep, and to some of the witches out there, they say it keeps away witches. So,
and vampires and all that, right?
Right. Well, actually, I had a good friend of mine, and he went home to be with the Lord. But he was like you, Wendy. He was a naturopath, and this guy would eat garlic first thing in the morning. And he would go with me. His name was Ed. He would go with me out to the abortion mills and help me save babies. We'd go out there. But, boy, I'm going to tell you, in the wintertime, when you had to leave the windows up, he'd come in that car with that garlic. And, boy, I can tell you, I can see why it would scare the witches away.
It scared everybody else away.
Yeah, it almost peeled the skin off your face. I mean, it was tough. That garlic was tough. But I mean, garlic really has, from what I understand, a lot of things. I actually knew a fellow who put garlic, he would put it in his shoes. He would put it in his socks at the bottom of his feet. He would cut it real thin.
Yeah. I spoke to a Vietnam vet one day that said that, you know, when they came back from their jungle excursions, they got what the guys would call jungle rot.
Jungle rot.
Oh yeah.
They said the only thing that got rid of it was garlic.
Yeah.
It sure wasn't the garbage they gave you from the VA. They gave you the stupid yellow cream and the stuff made it grow like crazy.
Well, yeah, there was a little red pill. You remember that little bitty red pill you would put in a bucket of water and you would soak your feet in it, and it would sting somewhat. And this is no kidding. There was a guy with us who had the jungle rot. They gave him the red pill. They told him to take it with the water, and they meant to put it in water, and he took it and with water and drunk it. And he had, boy, he had the worst case of diarrhea you can imagine during their killing. But, yeah.
Well, and do you remember World War II when they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima? The survivors had burns, you know. They had the burns, the fallout. And none of the creams or anything medicine gave the people worked. The only thing that worked was aloe gel.
Hello, Jill. Okay. All right. Did you say we have one more call? We got time, I think, for one more caller. Thanks, Cliff. Who do we have next?
John.
John, you're in the air.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
We're okay, John. How are you? Go ahead.
I loved your article or your news on the the thing with the video games and all that. I don't know if you ever saw the video that's out on Harari, the guy.
Oh yeah, we're very familiar with him. Yeah,
they're talking about the worthless, useless multitudes that will have to become extinct.
Yeah,
they use a little less hard terminology, but he's saying that the two main devices they're going to use for these worthless, useless people are drugs and video games.
Yeah,
I found that kind of interesting because it seems like, you know, like that's what's going to happen probably.
Well, there's an article out there by S.D. Wells, and he wrote a paper on top four realms where technology has been used to chronically damage humanity: television, artificial intelligence, social media, and mRNA. Right on.
Yeah, did you guys hear that Brother Andrew died?
No.
He's 94 years old. He died. I guess he went by another name because Andrew was kind of a takeoff of his first name was actually Ann. It's kind of unique, but he's from another country, so we have different names in those countries.
We're going to have to move on because I'm out of time. But listen, thanks for calling, John. Alrighty, I gave the invitation. No, Hal did last night.
Hal did. It's my turn.
It's your turn. You got 3 minutes.
All right. John 3:3. Jesus answered and saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's talking to Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in John 3:5, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. We see in Ephesians 1:13, it said, In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. To enter into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born again. You have to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, how do you get that? Well, you get that by first repenting that your sins placed Jesus Christ on the cross. And we know from Scripture the wages of sin are death. So you have to go and call upon the Father. And Jesus said, or it says in Acts 3:19, Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Your sins have to be forgiven. And you have to repent with a heart. This has to be a heartfelt thing. It can't just be words and a bunch of people. Everybody went up front to an altar call. You have to really, in your heart, repent to the Father of your sins. And after you've done that, then you ask Jesus Christ that you want him to become Lord of your life, all of your life, and you have to do it without reservation, hesitation. Scripture says very plainly that the only way, you know, to salvation is Jesus Christ. You have to be able to give yourself freely. And Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you ask him to be your Savior, to come into your life. And then you ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's your down payment on everlasting life. And once you've received that spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, you then become that born-again believer. You become a child of the kingdom, a son, a daughter of the living God, and a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. You see, it's always been our sin that separates us from God, that keeps us out of heaven. And Jesus, well, God sent his only begotten Son to the end that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right, and he does it, and it's not his will that any perish at all. So, folks out there, we're out of time for tonight. So, as we do it this time every night, we say good night. And God bless, and always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.